So, hi friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to really feel connected to people around you and how to get better at cultivating meaningful friendships. So, it's good to be here with you. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Tiffany, Kaylee's mom.
Yep, I'm the daughter. So, I think let's just start off. My mom actually... This is our first episode. So my mom actually texted me too long ago.
Well, now it's been, a few months.
Just saying like, hey, we should start a podcast on like loneliness and making friends. So mom, what do you feel like inspired you to start, talking about that and making conversations about it?
Well, I was thinking about that time. So a few years ago, we have 7 kids. Kaylee's our oldest. And a few years ago, we decided to take this trip to Hawaii. We'd never been before. And after we bought the tickets, we found these great tickets. We were super excited because the trip to Hawaii is not cheap. And so we had saved up and anyway, found the tickets. And then we went to get a hotel and realized we can't actually afford a hotel in Hawaii. And so then we were stuck because we had these airline tickets. So we started looking around and there was a campsite that we found and it was called Olowa. And we're like, okay, I guess we're camping in Hawaii. This is going to be super fun adventure. So we got, so I'll give some details just in case anyone's looking to camp in Hawaii while we're talking about this.
In Maui. Maui,
and yes, so we were in Maui and we did an order at Walmart and we ordered like a tent and all the things you would need for camping.
Didn't instead we of pack our sleeping bags? Dad doing that.
Yeah, so we packed our sleeping bags and we did like the vacuum where you suck all the air out so they would shrink down. Which tip that kind of doesn't work on an airplane because they end up expanding later. So that was fun. But So we packed our sleeping bags, we ordered everything else, did a grocery pickup, got to Hawaii, went to this campground, and it was amazing. It was right on the beach, and the story that I'm thinking of about there is the campsites are really close together, and they have this area that's kind of a common area. Do you remember that? Where there was like grass, there was an outdoor shower, which I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't think that would be a common area space, but
Rome, it ended up being, people. That's
think Greek bathhouse. No, but it was like the little kids would just play in it, basically. So every night we'd get home from going on excursions or playing in the water, and the parents would be cooking dinner, and the kids would all go and play in this common area, like baseball or tag. And then everyone would kind of come together at night and just talk while the kids played. And it was so fun. And we met this guy, if you remember, from Italy. And he'd been there for weeks. Like, I think he was going to be there all summer. He didn't have a car. Yeah. He basically just sat in his tent in Hawaii. And his name was Pasquale. Yeah. And so...
And just, I feel like I need to give a mental image. He's like...
Okay, yes.
He's like... One of those people where if you think like old money style, like if you guys have heard of that, that's him. Like he has the linen button down shirt with like the linen pants, the fedora, huge cigar, really nice dress shoes for camping. And he would sit out. He would either be like dress shoes or it would be like barefoot. And he would sit out on his little like canvas chair outside of his tent and just like smoke his cigar and like wave to people who passed by, which is like funny, except that you're living like 4 feet from him, so you like walk out of your tent and he's like
he was pretty much like right across from us, wasn't he? If I'm remembering right, he was like right, like there was a little walkway and then his tent was right across. And so dad, this is just how Kaylee's dad is, was like, hey, do you want to come with us in like on our next road trip? And so the next day we were going to do the road to Hana trip, which would take all day and, make little stops along the way at waterfalls and things. And he didn't have a car and he was like, yeah, I'm coming. When are we leaving? And
I think
and the rest of us. Well, oh, I'm sure.
Have a ride anywhere, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. And Dad's just good at that. Like, he just talks to people and like, hey, why wouldn't we invite this guy?
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier, but we were saying like, oh yeah, we're totally going to be on the next true crime episode. Like, family invites Italian on road trip with them and they all end
so
up
this
dead,
is what
you
you're
know?
Thinking. Meanwhile, Dad's like, this is great. New friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that says a lot about like our personalities. I'm always the a little more worried, like, I don't know. Maybe we should do a background check. Dad's like, what could go wrong? Let's, you know. Yeah. So we invite this guy and he comes on the road trip with us and it's really funny. Like to this day, everyone always has comments about, remember when we took Pasquale and he did this or, and it ended up being like kind of a core memory. We just always remember this trip with Pasquale. And then not only him, but there was another family in the campsite that they had a little boy that's our youngest, Connor's age. And they hit it off really well. And so then we didn't go on any like excursions with them, but we did end up talking to them every night. And they had planned after the end of their 10 days to get a hotel just so they could kind of freshen up before they flew home. And so they invited us to their hotel with them on their last night to just swim. And then we came home and we would Marco Polo them and our boys would get on Marco Polo and have chats every week. And it was just a really natural, beautiful friendship. It, you know, and it's not like we're best friends and we send cards or anything like that.
Didn't they end up like moving to Washington after?
No, they lived here. So we're from Washington and we're on the east side and they lived over on the west side closer to Seattle. And so, but he was Russian. I don't remember where she was from.
I think it was Sweden.
I don't know. But they, and so we just naturally found these people that were really fun to hang out with. There were other people at the campsite, too, that we would talk to. We didn't, like, keep up with them afterwards. But, and so Dad and I would always think about that and just be like, how can we make that here? Like what were the elements about this place that made people connect really fast and not just like really fast, but get over that superficial, like, oh, what's your job? How's the weather? But go deep pretty fast and talk about more meaningful things. And it seems like it's hard here to do that. So I don't know. Have you ever had like, what's your experience? You're in Utah. So what's your experience with meeting people?
Well, I'm a student right now, so I feel like that phase of your life, you're meeting people all the time, you know, because you're in different classes and stuff. And so, I feel like I had a experience just when I started school. So just for a little bit of background, we had moved here in like January, and if you know Utah in January, it's like, you know, 3 feet or 4 feet of snow. And it's like amazing for snowboarding, but for making friends, it's kind of daunting because nobody's really outside.
No one comes out of the house.
Unless you're like on the mountain or something. And so.
And even then you're like, why are you bothering me? I'm trying to ski.
Yeah, exactly. So, so I started going to school and I had some classes and there was probably like 30 people in my classes starting out. And I had one night class where we were learning drafting. So I'm going into interior design. And so we had a class where they basically tell us like how to sketch out, like draft a floor plan and an elevation. And so that class, since it was a night class, there was probably like less than 10 people. And one of the girls, I remember thinking beforehand in several of my classes, like, she just seems so fun. Like, she just seems so cool and so put together. Like, she has, you know, the cutest outfits and she's just like the cutest person. And she's, I don't know, she just, you know, those people where you see them and you're like, man, I want to be like them. Like, they're so cool.
Yeah.
And so I think I remember feeling a little bit intimidated, but everybody else had like someone they were paired off with. And so I was like, hey, she's the only one that's like sitting by herself that I feel like I could walk up to and talk to maybe. And so I remember we ended up sitting at the same table and we just kind of started out making like, you know, hey, you know, is this your first semester? Are you like, you know, how did you get into interior design? And then it was like a 3-hour class and most of it was lab time. And so we kind of bonded over like not understanding the class. And then it kind of turned into like within the first night of meeting, we were like talking about like super deep personal stuff and just like somehow we got onto like crime podcasts and stuff. And she's like, yeah, I need to not watch them, but also they're so intriguing. And I was like, I understand that. I can get paranoid with that stuff. So I have to not, but I totally get like the draw. And so we were just like, you know, laughing. And like, it was probably one of the few times where I met someone and immediately just started laughing with them. And then,
oh yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, I don't know, so refreshing. And so, then after that, we kind of just like found each other, and she had some other friends that were in the other classes and I had talked to some other people, but we usually ended up kind of like sitting by each other and talking. And then eventually, we both ended up taking online classes because all of the in-person classes were taken up. And so we,
yeah. So did that change your relationship? Like once you weren't in person anymore?
I think so, because it was kind of like a breaking point. It's like either we're not going to see each other at all or we're going to, you know, really jump off and just start hanging out. And so that was the first time that we had like gone over to each other's houses because we hadn't had reason to before. You know, we just met at the school and we just studied there.
Right.
And so I think that was kind of like a, oh, like we're friends. Like outside of school, we're friends. And so, yeah, and we still try to, I mean, she's super busy and I'm super busy, but we still try to like hang out and meet up. And if we can't, we at least still like text each other about little things here and there. But yeah, I feel like there's something special about finding someone and laughing with them, you know?
Totally. Or
like being in a situation where you can relate over, oh my gosh, this is so hard, or like, you know, making a fool of yourself. Like, I think that kind of automatically creates like a safe space to just like be yourself and connect with them, you know?
Well, yeah. And even her just being willing from the beginning to be like, I like true crime podcasts, you know, normally you kind of hold that back for later. Like, I'm going to fill out this relationship before I divulge my like.
I think I had brought something up, honestly, that I probably should have
held back,
waited on. But I think that's the cool thing is like when I said something, because I do that all the time, I'll say stuff and be like, maybe I should,
like random, where they're like, huh.
Yeah, but yeah. She was like all in, she's like, oh, me too, you know? So I think that's definitely, I don't know, people that can like latch onto something and then go a level deeper with you,
yeah,
super cool and super like eye-opening to like how to pursue deep relationships, you know, is when you, I was talking to my neighbor the other day and we were talking about how there was like this chart where it shows this is how you pursue a deep relationship and how you know if someone's ready for it. And it was like you start out saying, you know, like this level of intimacy where you are just talking about the weather, talking about, you know, how's your family, or, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can share something that's a little bit like one level down. And then if they also share something that's one level down, then they're ready for that level. And then you can kind of do the next one. And then if they, at some point you share something and I mean, not like they have to have an exact experience that's just like that, but right. If they seem a little hesitant to like go there, then you jump back up to this level with them.
Until yeah.
They're, you know, interesting. Until they bring something up. Or, so I thought that was really cool. Just because I could totally see that in like a lot of my relationships that are deep versus relationships that are like a little more surface level. It's definitely like some people are like, all right, let's go. Like, let's jump in. I can tell you all these things. You can tell me all these things. And I want to listen. Like, I actually do want to hear you talk about what's important to you and not just, you know.
Right. Well, and I think also there's something to the whole time aspect. Like if you hadn't had that 3 hours with her in the beginning, you probably wouldn't have gotten past that. You wouldn't have had time to kind of get bored and get to the point of like sharing random things.
Like, okay, we got to bring something up. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same with us camping in Hawaii. Like I think we were there 10 days, part of us. My older kids had to go home early, but like 10 days, 8 days. And when you're with the same people for that period of time, you get past all that small talk. So it seems like there's something with just FaceTime, like seeing them more than occasionally or having more downtime where you're like, okay, it's been an hour. We still have another hour to now. What do we talk about? And then you're able to go deeper.
Something I was also thinking about just while you were talking about that is I feel like there is a point, like if you've got a set amount of time you're going to be with people, there is a point where you have to either say something to them, like make contact with them, or it's going to be really, really awkward.
Yeah.
And I had an experience like that was really awkward. It was on a plane. You know how you hear all those stories about people like, you know, having these great conversations on flights and stuff with people next to them?
Dad always has those.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like preparing for this podcast and I was like, okay, I'm going to be like outgoing and like talk to people on the plane. And I sat down and there was like a guy a little older than me. Next to me. And then there was a guy who was like a lot older than me next to me on this side. And I was in the middle and the guy next to me was on his phone and the guy over here was sleeping. And so I was like, I don't feel like I can, you know, hey, what are you looking at on your phone? Yeah. You know? So it just made me think like, okay, if there's a breaking point, like where is that jump off point of you talk to them now, or it's going to be awkward. And like, especially if you're an introvert, how do you breach that? Like, how do you, you know, overcome that? Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know what to say. Is there like small tips that you could do that are just like, you know, how to start conversation with them?
Yeah. So I have a great, I was going to save this for the end, but we can't save it till the end because it's too good. So we were looking at ideas, remember, and we found pickup lines.
Oh, yes.
For making friends. Yeah. So like not pickup lines for romantic relationships, but pickup lines for making friends. And
I feel like we need to clarify this was AI. So
AI pickup lines.
Yeah.
we're gonna see if it'll let me open this. If not, we'll have to move on. Oh, here we go. Okay. So you're in that awkward place on the plane. Oh, this is perfect because you're on a plane. And so this is pickup line number one. Do you have a map? Because I just got lost in a great conversation with you. No, I guess that has to happen after.
Yeah, that would be a little.
You had a conversation.
I'd be like, you did.
All right, let's see.
In my dreams.
Okay. Yes, I had a conversation and then they're like, okay, you really are a weirdo. Let's not talk to that person.
How to avoid conversation.
This one's more appropriate. Is it okay if I follow you home? Because my parents always told me to follow my dreams and I'm dreaming of a new friend.
I think we need to boycott these.
Okay, wait, we have to have one more. Last one. Is your name Wi-Fi? Because I'm feeling a connection between us.
That's not bad. That's, you know, it's like clearly you're a cheesy person. And
then they can judge right there. If they're not willing to be awkward with you, then you know to move on.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can't move on because you're stuck in a plane for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. Then they're like, I'm going first class next time. I mean, the airlines maybe would pay you, like, if you go through their plane and make these awkward conversations and force people to buy first class, then it could be a win-win.
This could be a full-on career opportunity.
That's right.
I actually found another one I want to share. So some of these, you can tell they're AI because it totally took a very, like, romantic pickup line and trying to make it like friendship, you know?
Yeah.
So this one, are you a campfire because you're hot and I want some more of your friendship?
Oh my gosh. I needed a little more training before it.
I mean, in one sense, you know, maybe they're like,
I mean, if you want a friendship with someone from the opposite sex, maybe that would work.
Yeah. If you,
I don't know that I would want to say that to you and then be like, okay, now this is really,
now we're friends, but you have mixed messages because you're not sure if I'm into you or if we're just friends, which is way more intriguing. So get the intrigue, people. That's how you start conversations.
Yeah. So maybe don't use, that should be rule number one. Do not use ChatGPT to make friends. It might not work.
At least not asking it for pickup lines, maybe.
Right. But I was reading this book a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about the effects of loneliness, and they were quoting the Surgeon General. I was about to say Attorney General. The Surgeon General, about the effects of loneliness. And they were saying it was equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, the effects of loneliness.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then there was this study done by some BYU professors, and they said that loneliness will increase your risk of death by 26%.
Yikes.
But then if
that's,
you have
motivation.
I know. Like, you got to find friends. You don't want to die. You have to have friends.
Yeah.
But then it also had the reverse, that if you had strong social ties, that your life expectancy would increase. Like, you would live longer if you had good connections. So
that is so interesting. I've actually been seeing some random stats on like motherhood that are interesting. One of them was talking about people are doing like the lifelong studies on when people have babies and how it affects their lifespan.
Oh, and interesting.
One of them was saying if you have babies after the age of 35, your lifespan or your life expectancy increases by a certain percentage. I don't remember. But I was like, why is that? And part of me was thinking, you know, maybe it's because the mom who's able to have babies after 35 is a little healthier, and so they're going to live longer.
Yeah, could be.
But another thing I thought of was maybe it's could have to do with you are literally like creating people you're going to have connections with, hopefully, right? And so these people are around, you're going to be like involved with them. And so some people probably aren't guaranteed to have a relationship, you know, past like 50. Whereas if you have kids you're still like teaching and interacting with and stuff, then you automatically have some kind of relationship that you're, you know.
Well, yeah. And I wonder too, like, that's an interesting study, because I wonder if there's something to, you know, if you're waiting that long, maybe you've built up good connections and you have more support.
That's true. Yeah.
So maybe it has less to do with the age and more of, do you have a good support system?
Yeah.
To help you, like, you know, the old phrase, takes a village. So do you have this village to help raise your kids or not?
Right.
But there, so I, you know me, I like to read a lot. So there was this other book I was reading, and I think it was called Find Your People by Jenny Allen.
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she was talking about this principle. It was called Dunbar's number, and it was the number of relationships a person can maintain. Like, it was a study about neurology. So it was actually in your brain, how many people can your brain actually maintain and keep up with? And so it was saying, you can have 150 meaningful connections. So if you think like Christmas cards, when you go to make a Christmas card, how many people are on your list? There's about 150 that you could actually maintain in your brain, like know their name, know about them. And then there's 50 people that you could be friends with.
Yeah.
Usually that involves more contact. You know, moving them from 150, they only get a Christmas card, to 50, right, where you actually might call or check up on them, or maybe they live in your town.
Yeah.
And then 15 good friends. that you could have. And the good friends were people that you would like say was your village that you actually mm-hmm. did things with, that you talked to. And then from that 15, five intimate relationships. I don't know. Does that seem, I was trying to think, is that a lot or is that a little?
Well, I think it depends on the person, right? Because I feel like initially I'm like, I feel like I could have more than 15 more people than that I'm hanging out with and stuff. But if I really think about it, I'm like, actually, I don't know if I even have 15 that I'm like always hanging out with, talking to, you know, like that I could call and be like, hey, do you want to hang out this day? Mm-hmm. So that is really interesting.
Well, and they were saying the way that you get them from 15 to 5 is you have to have weekly passing time. Like you have to see them weekly. And it goes back to that like time thing where if you're not actually seeing them, then you don't have time to probably divulge hardships you're going through or joys, things you're excited about, you know, promotions, whatever. And so, and then they also were saying those five people usually are not people that are all the same. Like you have one person that I go to this person for this specific thing. And I go to this person because she's really funny and I need someone that has humor. And I go to this person because I can cry and be serious, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But usually those five people kind of have different roles in your friendship, I guess. So I thought that was interesting. Just, I totally see that. And I can see how you can have 15 people and not move them down to the intimate relationship because we're just so busy. Or we have like the whole social media problem where you just follow them and watch their pictures and you think you know what's going on because you see what their family's doing or they're doing. But actually, you haven't called them in months or, you know. Do you have people that you connect with on social media that you realize you think you are really good friends and know about them, but actually you've never talked to them or you haven't talked to them in years?
Yeah, I feel like I have because we moved around so much. So I feel like I have a lot of people on social media that I only talk to through social media. And it's like, I'll comment on their post every once in a while, or like, you know, some of my friends get engaged and they're like, hey, congratulations, so excited for you. But I don't really have a super good relationship with them or anything. Like I used to, but I don't anymore. So I feel like there's a lot of people like that, that I interact with maybe, but they're more of like the 150 people, you know,
right.
Not necessarily like part of the 50 or even 15 that I talk to.
Yeah. There. Yeah. And I think that's kind of why we wanted to start this podcast was we moved around a lot for school with dad and jobs and different things. And so we've had to make friends over and over. And sometimes, well, most of the time was hard. You would meet and maybe have acquaintances, but you'd be surrounded by people and feel like you didn't have friends. Or I'd be surrounded by people and feel like I didn't have friends. Or I'd take my kids to play dates and come home and just feel like, I feel like I'm just missing something.
Yeah.
And usually from each of those places, I would leave with maybe one good friend. So I'd move to a new place and maybe there's still one good friend from each of those spots that I keep in touch with still.
Yeah.
But even that, I feel like it's had to change our relationship a little bit, but that's kind of what we want to do with this podcast is maybe talk about how to meet new people, how to go deeper, make better connections. If you've moved, how to change your relationship from where you're seeing them every day to being long distance. And then I think something that you're really good at that we're hoping to add on here is how to work on problems when there's conflict and then how to celebrate. So maybe give a little bit of your background in school and then we can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to give like a whole big picture.
Perfect.
So first aspect of my education that I think is beneficial is theater. I did theater a lot in high school and I wrote a play with a good friend my senior year. And that was so much fun, just like collaborating with her and learning how to like direct. And, but I think theater helped me realize how to connect with myself and how to help other people connect with themselves. And so I remember there was one specific example where I was helping out with a Shakespeare production, and there was this girl who was generally a little bit more soft-spoken. She had a beautiful voice and she was an amazing actress. She was just very soft-spoken. And so I remember at the time I was like, we got to get her out of her shell because there's a lot there that she can bring to the table. And so I remember going in the backyard where we were practicing, and there would be groups, you know, practicing their lines over here and groups practicing a scene over here. And then there would be me and this girl. And I was like, okay, I want you to project to the back of that fence, which was very, very far away. And we basically would just stand there and have, like, not screaming matches, you're projecting, but it kind of sounded like it, just different lines. And that play, I remember the end, she had to like grab somebody's shirt and yell at them and then like throw them. And she was like
an introvert's nightmare.
Yeah, seriously. And so she was like, you know, starting out and she was like, you know, and she would like say her line.
There.
I don't want to hurt you. And then by the time they performed, she was like, you listen to me. And I was like, yes. But I think that's kind of when I realized like most people have a lot to give and they just don't know how, you know, they just need permission to bring it up, bring it to the table. And then another aspect of my education that I think is really cool, that I've enjoyed is, this interior design little side hop that I'm doing. I started looking into interior design a little while ago and I wanted to learn about it, but I couldn't find a good place to like learn about it. And I was like kind of reading books and trying to do it on my own. It just wasn't really working super well. And then I decided to go to Ensign College, which is LDS Business College, basically reformed, I guess.
Salt Lake, Utah.
In Salt Lake, yeah. And so that's where I've been going for the past little while. Learning about interior design, and I'm realizing there's a lot of things that, as far as like connecting with people, that is really useful as an interior designer, because your goal as an interior designer is obviously you meet with your client and you're trying to help them create a space that, you know, if you're going commercial, they have different goals for their building that they want, you know, people to feel at home when they walk into the hotel, or they want people to feel refreshed, or, you know. But overall, you're trying to create a feeling out of a building. And so I think that trying to learn that art has helped me realize there's a lot of things that your environment can do to encourage connection. And so I think that's one of the things I kind of want to bring up just throughout this podcast is like little things I've learned here and there with interior design on how to encourage connection using your environment, using like the way you set up for a get together, or even if you're just having a conversation with a friend, like, you know, little things that can help with that.
Well, so. Yeah, that makes me think of, we have our backyard is kind of a weird shape. It almost looks like you'd have a really good mini golf course, because it just kind of like winds, and then it has these huge planters in the middle, not very good space for kids necessarily. So this summer we took out, leveled all the planters, and we put an above ground pool. And our whole goal was, we just want somewhere that teenagers can connect, because there's just, they come over and there's just not a lot to do. And so we have this pool, and ever since we put it up, I mean, it took so much work. It was, as all projects, it was way more involved than we thought it was going to be. It involved tractors at one point, but I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think Jared was super excited about the tractor part. Driving a tractor is like every kid's dream, right?
Yeah.
An adult's dream.
Right.
But the whole point was, what can we put back here that will fit, not cost a ton of money? We knew we didn't have money for like an in-ground big pool. And so we just got this huge above-ground pool, and we have people always asking us like, when can we come to your house? When can we swim? And we don't even have to be the ones that are extroverted and invite. We have people coming to us. So
yeah,
I think that's so important. And hopefully we want to talk about that more in the future is just, you know, designing an environment that is more welcoming and it doesn't have to cost a lot. It doesn't have to be like hire a designer and redo your whole house.
But if you do want to hire a designer, then.
But it is available. Yeah. Especially if you are looking for an intern right now.
Yeah.
But just like simple tips. And then even just parties or gathering, how to make it so make it so that people feel welcome.
Yeah.
And there's a lady I follow on Instagram that I think her Instagram account is called A Cordial Home. And I love it because she talks about the difference between hospitality and entertaining.
Yeah.
And hospitality is not about you. It's not about, is your house clean? Do you have all the right table settings? You know, hospitality is having a welcoming space.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So we want to talk a little bit about that, a little bit about just loneliness and what you can do and can you ever really get over it? We want to be better at gathering people, make more connections where we are. And that's kind of the hope for this podcast. And we hope that you guys can come along with us and share any pointers you have. Of course, we have, you know, social media and we'll put this on YouTube and just see if we can get a community of people that are interested in building stronger communities, making more connections. And I think we want to end maybe with the thought of people build decks a lot right now. Everyone has a deck.
Yeah.
Maybe rethink that and take your chair from the deck and move it to your porch.
And see who you say can hi meet on your front porch.
Yeah. See who you can meet. Build porches. That's our message for today.
If
so
you can't build a bridge, build a porch. There we go.
That's right. If you can't build a bridge, build a porch. There you go. So anyway, it's good to meet you. Hopefully we'll have a lot of future conversations and thanks for being here.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Bye.